Senate Committee on Environment and Land Use, obviously that we don't have much of a committee here. And to those who are here for the work sessions on Senate Bill 542 or 2170, I'm not sure we're going to be able to get to a quorum today because Senator Shields is out. Senator Courtney is out. He can't come down. So at the very best, we may just have hearings on these. If we happen to have a quorum, then I'll do the best to move them out. But we'll just have to wait and see on that. So I'm just going to go ahead and open a hearing. And let's start with a hearing on House Bill 2582. And we have Brett, is it Kachalek?
Kasalek,
I'm sorry. And Rod. You spell it differently. No, come on. Who wants to go first?
Now, first of all, name is Brett Kasalek. I own Earthworks Landscape Service, and I appreciate your time, Senator, for hearing this. Basically, my situation is I have a recently acquired a piece of property, zoned EFU, across from the Aurora Airport. We worked for a considerable amount of time with Marion County to operate our landscape business off of that, but doing that in such a way that it's secondary and conditional use to the primary use of the property, which would have been a nursery-related wholesale operation, which we would like to start on the property in Ernst. After much time dealing with a land use consultant and Marion County planners, we came up with a way that we could effectively run an application through. We did that. Marion County went ahead and approved that application pending a public notice, a public hearing session. During that time, one of the neighbors had complaints about the property being developed in any fashion, which also included its outright uses of the nursery and egg-related issues. We tried to work with that particular owner to explain that any improvements that we were proposing could be done in an outright use, and all we were looking for through the conditional use process with Marion County was to be able to operate a compatible business off of that, which is a landscape. Most people, when they think landscape, they think nursery. It's interrelated in their mind. Currently, there's a lot of business models operating in that fashion in the state of Oregon, but basically operating off of either a grandfathered situation or don't ask, don't tell policy.
Is there any difference in permission required if you're operating a nursery as to whether it's open to the public for retail or not? Does that impact your zoning or your permission at all?
There's not any allowed use. There's a what they call a farm stand that will allow for a conditional use for a small percentage of your gross sales receipts.
I see.
Off of that property. Otherwise, it's, you know, the EFU is trying to promote the production of the land and so forth through the wholesale uses. Marion County, once we started going through that process with a one complaint, Marion County hearings officer, after reviewing the cases, decided that they did not have the jurisdiction based on the way that Oregon state law is currently written, and basically we were back to square one. Now, we had the ability to do appeals to the Marion County Board of Commissioners, but we were discouraged from doing that, both from our land use planners and from the Marion County planners themselves, just thinking that maybe the timing wasn't right on it. After sharing our frustrations, Representative Wayne Scott came up with what I believe is a straightforward, common-sense approach to alleviating the issue by allowing a landscape operation to work in conjunction with, but secondary to, the primary use of EFU property, which would be, in this instance, a wholesale nursery. Any improvements that we'd like to do on the property are certainly compatible with our landscape operation in the relationship to building structures, office situation. It makes the economics of my business much better. I don't have to operate two distinct facilities and have additional driving time, fuel costs, insurance costs, so forth and so on. When one business slows down, I can at the same time swap over employees, keeping people employed on another business.
Have you seen the letter from LCDC with their requested amendment?
No, I have not.
Have you been aware of that?
No.
Is there somebody from LCDC who's here to testify? I don't see them.
I think he's extra.
Oh, that's all right. Essentially, they just wanted to change one minor phrase. Rather than saying when operated in conjunction with the primary use of land, they want to say it's an accessory to the current employment of the land for farm use, which seems like it would still serve your purpose, but it's something that here my staff will show you. And we don't need an answer today. Certainly we're not close to having enough votes on the committee bill today, so... But I'll allow you to take a look at it after the testimony. But anything else just to wrap up?
Basically, I'd just like to say that to me, this is a very personal matter, business matter. It seems to make good common sense for the state of Oregon. I know that there's a lot of companies out there. I can't give any kind of data or statistics just because there's a lot of there's not a lot of problems with those companies that are operating that way because it's very low impact. And again, I think the state of mind when people think landscape or they think nursery, it kind of rolls up into the green industry as a whole.
Okay.
But I do think that it makes good common sense to make a slight change to allow better use of the lands that we have available and so forth. So.
Do you have anything to add?
It's basically all the same thing, all the economics of it and
okay.
All the compatibility. So,
I suggest that you contact Ron Eber. You can send him an email to get more information, but also look at what he's proposing. And I think they have amendments in the works, but just let me know if you'd still be okay with those amendments because I think it serves your purpose.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Hang on one minute. Oh, is there somebody else who wants to testify on this bill? I'm sorry. Bill?
That's okay. I just got here. Mr. Chair, committee member, I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Landscape Contractors Association. Once this bill had a hearing on the House side, I took it to their legislative committee and board. They have endorsed it. There may be, in fact, other instances where a nursery may have a landscape operation on its property. We've checked with the Oregon Farm Bureau and the Oregon Association of Nurserymen. They're in support of the proposed legislation, and on the House side, there was no opposition. At that time, the Department of Land Conservation and Development had not submitted this recommendation, and I will be happy to follow up with them on the surface. It doesn't look like it would harm the intent of the bill, and so I'm pretty certain we should be able to work with them.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. For the record, my name is Bill Cross.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. Let's close the public hearing on House Bill 2582. Let's open a public hearing on House Bill 2111. John Jackley, please. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm John Jackley with the Highway Division at the Oregon Department of Transportation. Appreciate the opportunity to speak with you about House Bill 2111. I think the most important thing about this bill to keep in mind is what it doesn't do. And what it doesn't do is take money from the Common School Fund. What it does do is resolve a conflict between statute and the Constitution over proceeds from either mineral rights or geothermal rights that might be associated with property that's owned by the department. Now, the Constitution dedicates these proceeds to the Highway Trust Fund. Statute, however, dedicates the proceeds from mineral or geothermal rights to the Common School Fund. Both the Department of Justice and the Division of State Lands are aware of this conflict, and at Department of Justice direction, any proceeds we might have had from either mineral or geothermal rights would have been deposited into the Highway Trust Fund. House Bill 2111 eliminates this conflict. Other agencies are excluded, including ODFW, Veterans Affairs, and the State Board of Higher Education. And the bill does impose the same kind of informing and consultative requirements with the Department of State Lands that other agencies have. Currently, we don't have any geothermal proceeds, and I don't think we ever have. Revenue that comes from fees that ODOT charges counties, cities, and contractors, say from quarries for sand and gravel, are already excluded from this. This conflict would mainly involve where the department might lease a quarry for a non-road purpose, and even in that case, we would typically take payment in kind, which is the rock that we used for the highway construction program. So, in summary, House Bill 2111 aligns the statute with the Constitution. It continues our current practices, which is under Department of Justice direction, and most importantly, just to clarify again, it doesn't involve any reduction to the Common School Fund, and we would respectfully request your support for the bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator Byron.
Thank you. How long has this unconstitutional law been in the books?
Mr. Chair, Senator Byer, I'm not sure how long it's been on the books, but when we had a review by the Department of Justice a couple of years ago of all kinds of different practices and where money went and what money was spent on it, Justice, this was one of the things that we uncovered, and that's why we came up with a bill. But I'm not exactly sure how long this has been, how long the statute itself has been there.
And the reality is no funds have been flowing to the Common School Fund anyway?
Not recently. We've never had, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we've never had any geothermal proceeds. Currently, when ODOT acquires a property, we would acquire the different rights that go along with it. Very, very occasionally, and it's not very often, you might have mineral rights associated with a piece of property. And in that case, if they weren't the kind of fees that we would charge from people that were leasing sand and gravel proceeds to from cities, counties, or contractors, if it was something where we were leasing a quarry from a non-road purpose, then the money would go into the state highway fund. But it's very rare. And this really is a bill where we just tried to align the statute with the Constitution.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Are you okay with the bill?
Yeah, it seems kind of basic.
It seems kind of silly.
Senator Burdick, are you ready to vote on the bill that Senator Byer just described as basic and silly?
Absolutely. If it's
okay,
basic
good.
And silly from Senator Byer, it's okay by
Let's
me.
Let's close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 2111.
House Bill 2111.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2111 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Byer has moved House Bill 2111 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Byer, do you want to carry this basic, silly bill?
Sure. If I can vote, who cares on the floor?
Let's open a work session on House Bill 2170. Mr. Douglas, do you want to come up real quickly and just recap for us in 30 seconds or less?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rob Douglas, representing Columbia River Steamship Operators Association, the Maritime Fire and Safety Association. House Bill 2170 continues the task force on ballast water management. Those of you that have served in prior sessions will recognize this from at least two sessions ago. Section 1 reestablishes the task force. Section 2 conforms ballast water exchange zones to practices in our neighboring states and British Columbia. Section 3, standards for those exchanges. Section 4 is reporting to Department of Environmental Quality. Section 5 is pretty much existing law. Section 6 is the penalty provision. At the last hearing, I believe we had the Port of Portland, a representative from the Port of Portland, and a representative from DEQ join me in supporting passage of this bill.
And what will be the impact on ballast water practice if this bill were not to pass?
You'd lose the task force and any grants that might flow through to PSU and that task force. You would not be in conformance with surrounding neighboring states on where the areas of exchange would be for ballast water. You would lose, I would assume you'd lose your reporting requirements, although I'm not sure about that.
In Section 6, the part that says may impose a civil penalty for failure to comply with the requirements of ORS, and it deletes the one section and then inserts another section. Do you know what that specific change is about?
Mr. Chairman, without the statute in front of me, you have me at a decided disadvantage.
So what I'm wondering is, do you think it's a substantive change or is it a cleanup of some sort? Okay. Well,
it looks like, to me, Mr. Chair, like they've incorporated a little bit more.
Yeah. I tell you what, we'll just recess out of this and take a look at it on the side and hopefully get it straightened out and voted out. So let's.
Mr. Chair, both the statutes are in the bill. Section 2 is 783.625 and Section 5 is 783.630.
So we should be able to tell by looking at the bill.
Actually, it just makes the bill more broad.
Yeah, but
because it's requirements of ORS 783.625-640, and before it was 630-625, so it broadens the bill by one or two sections.
To make sure that 625 was actually
in the bill
affected by the penalties.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with that.
Okay.
Which is the ballast water exchange provision of the bill.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Beyer?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2178 and gross to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer has moved House Bill 2178 and gross to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
I guess I should have. I see that it says fiscal statement issued. I don't have it in my bill file. Obviously, there must be a fiscal on the bill.
Yeah, I think I have a copy of it.
I apologize, I didn't ask that before.
No, that's okay. I'm not aware of a fiscal.
Well, so it's going to cost $60,000, but they get some money from Portland State University for Lakes and Reservoirs Report, a federal grant to fund it, it looks like. By a quick reading of the fiscal.
Quite convenient. Okay. Can I keep that fiscal? Or?
I think I'm a couple hours.
Okay, that'd be fine. And Senator Burdick, do you want to carry that bill?
Oh, I'm happy to. Thank you.
Okay. So let's open a public hearing on House Bill 2668. We have Phil, is it Stenbeck? Hi. Are you from Douglas County, Mr. Stenbeck?
I am, yes.
Well, thank you for coming up to Salem.
Okay, thank you. As I mentioned, I'm Phil Stenbeck. I'm a senior planner with the Douglas County Planning Department. And before you today is House Bill 2668, sponsored by Representative Morgan at the request of the Douglas County Board of Commissioners. The bill amends ORS 368 in a manner where the vacation process for property lines between on private land, the process is expedited and it reduces the cost of the process for a landowner. This proposal comes to you from experience we've had where We've had a number of landowners where they've owned adjacent parcels of land, and what we find is when they propose a development that's to be built in a manner where the units of land are used in one, as one unit, they either have to go through a process, a vacation process, which requires public hearings and costs quite a bit of money, or they have to design their development to meet building code, which requires things like firewalls and stuff like that along where this property line is. We've looked at that process, and then we've looked at the building code requirements, and we believe that amending ORS 368 in the manner proposed in the bill would reduce the time and the requirements there in a manner that's beneficial to a landowner and helps support development of a project. At this point, the Douglas County Board of Commissioners requests your support of this bill, and if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
My only question is: are you speaking on behalf of the entire planning? You're not speaking on behalf of the Planning Association. You're speaking for Douglas County.
Yes.
Board of Planners.
This bill does have statewide implications.
Yeah. Where are the rest of the planners on this? So where's the Planning Association?
Generally speaking, we've found support for this statewide, and I at this point don't know of any objections to it.
Okay. Have you talked? Who represents the planner? Stephen Cafore?
Well, there's the Association of Oregon County Planning Directors that are certainly supportive of it. There's also the Land Surveyors Associations, you know, the statewide Land Surveyors Associations. We've actually visited, we had a meeting with the Umpqua chapter of the Professional Land Surveyors Association, and they've expressed support of this bill.
Okay. Well, I think we'll let it sit for a while, for one thing, because we don't have a committee right now. But Senator Beyer, do you have questions? No. Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate your coming all the way up here to Salem. Where's my gavel? There he is. Let's close the public hearing on House Bill 2668. Is there anybody here to testify on House Bill 2522? Is there anybody here who wants to testify on any bills? Okay. Well, let's just sit. Let's not even go into 2522 then. So committee is adjourned. Okay. Thank you.